Good morning. My name is Christy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finance and Public Debt Third Quarter 2012 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to hand the program over to Mr. Miguel Messmacher. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the conference call on public finances and public debt for the third quarter of 2012. We would like to remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. I'll give some initial remarks on economic activity and public finances, and then Alejandro Diaz de Leon will give some remarks on the results from the point of view of public debt. Very briefly, on economic activity, in general, we did observe a deceleration during the third quarter of 2012. Our forecast for the annual growth rate during the third quarter is of 3.3%. which roughly implies a quarterly growth rate non-annualized of between 0.6 and 0.7%. Nevertheless, the results that we have been observing during the entire year have been better than expected. In fact, as you can infer from our official forecast of growth of 3.5%, we had fully factored in some degree of deceleration during the second half of the year. In fact, we're actually feeling, given the results that we have observed, somewhat more confident with respect to our economic forecast. And our impression is that, in general, the consensus forecast for Mexico, that you can see from the different surveys of growth between 3.8% for the year, seems pretty reasonable, even though we haven't made an official revision to our point forecast. This most likely will happen when the budget proposal is presented to Congress in early December. When we look at the details of economic activity, a very significant part of the deceleration was associated with the deceleration that was observed in the U.S. And with a change in the seasonality of the retooling period in automotive companies, both in the U.S. and in Mexico. If you're familiar with the U.S. numbers, you will have observed that the industrial production and the manufacturing numbers actually had a pretty sharp drop during August, some recovery in September, but it was only partial, and where a lot of that really has to do with automotive production. We observed the effects from that very clearly in manufacturing exports and in imports of intermediate goods, which actually had declines during the third quarter of the year in seasonally adjusted terms. In the case of manufacturing exports, of about 1.6%, in the case of imports of intermediate goods, of about 1.4%. Nevertheless, we would expect some pretty much stronger results at the beginning of the fourth quarter, given the response that both of these components tend to have with respect to industrial production and automobile production. If you actually look at automobile production, it followed this pattern of relatively weak growth during 1 month, but then a pretty strong recovery at the end of the quarter, so that actually automotive production grew 6.4% during the third quarter of the year, and this should be shown with a lag of 1 or 2 months in exports of manufactured goods. So in principle, we would be expecting that sort of these temporary effects from the retooling process in automotive production would disappear in the fourth quarter of the year, and therefore we should be observing some degree of acceleration with respect to the results that we observed in the third quarter. Overall, domestic demand maintained a pretty strong pace of growth. And TAF sales grew during the quarter at a non-annualized rate of 1.4%. Unfortunately for investment, we only have July, but nevertheless, growth in July was 0.9% in monthly non-annualized terms. Nevertheless, it's likely that in investment we observe a similar pattern as what was observed for manufacturing production as a whole, and we observe some a weaker result in August, some compensation in September, and then really a stronger result starting in the fourth quarter of the year, given the very high levels of capacity utilization that we're observing in manufacturing, even during these weaker months. When you look at the components of IGAI, industrial production and services, unfortunately we don't have the numbers for September yet, but when you look at the bi-monthly growth rate compared to the two last months of the previous quarter, the IGAI increased by 0.8% in seasonal terms, seasonal non-annualized terms, industrial production 0.7 and services 0.7 as well. So in general, the results, even considering the August results, have tended to be relatively good. And then finally, employment, for which we have results for the entire quarter, actually continues to have a pretty good performance with a quarterly non-annualized growth rate of 1.4%, and this should continue to be supportive for consumption going forward. Moving quickly to the results on public finances, just from the point of view of the general balance, as of the third quarter of 2012, the public balance had a deficit of 176 billion pesos. This is entirely due to Pemex's investment. If you actually look at the balance without Pemex's investment, there was actually a surplus of 18 billion pesos. And we had a primary balance, including Pemex's investment, of 25 billion pesos. Again, if we excluded Pemex's investment, the primary balance would be significantly higher. In general, these results for the public balance are perfectly consistent with the results that were approved by Congress for the year as a whole. Performance of budgetary revenues in general has been pretty good, with growth of 8.3% in real annual terms. Looking at the main components, if you look at oil revenues, they increased by 4.9% in real annual terms. The increase was basically due to three factors. A first factor is the increase in the price of the Mexican oil mix with respect to the same period of last year. The second factor was the depreciation of the exchange rate that we observed in the first three quarters of the year with respect to the same period of last year. And lastly, the increase in domestic gasoline prices, which implies an important increase in real terms. There were two factors that compensated for this. One factor, though this was relatively minor, was a slight decline in the oil production factor, in oil production. The most important factor that compensated for this was the very sharp decline that was observed in gas prices during the year as a result of a higher shale production in the U.S. And what that has implied for the decline in the reference price that we used in Mexico, which is basically Henry Hub from the southeastern part of the U.S., and therefore that implied a relatively strong decline in Pemex's gas revenues, and that compensated in an informed way the other positive factors that I have mentioned, in spite of which we are having this growth of close to 5% in real annual terms. Non-oil tax revenues increased by 3.6% in real annual terms. Even though the growth rate has been slightly smaller, but basically consistent with the growth rate of the economy that we have observed in the third quarter of the year, underlying this result, actually we're observing a pretty good performance from the point of view of non-oil tax revenues. There were actually two factors that are actually leading to lower growth in non-oil tax revenues than would otherwise be the case. The most important one is the elimination of the vehicle ownership tax, which was accorded for this year. A second one is the fact that El Buen Fin last year changed the seasonality of VAT tax revenues by moving some domestic sales and domestic consumption from December to November. What that implied is that we observed higher VAT tax collection in December of last year and lower VAT tax collection in January of this year than what was originally envisaged. In spite of these two factors, we're observing this relatively high growth rate for non-oil tax revenues. If you actually were to eliminate from the base of comparison the effect of the elimination of the vehicle ownership tax, tax revenues would be increasing by 4.8% in real annual terms. It's more difficult to control for the El Buen Fin effect, but if we were to make some calculations around that, we would probably be observing growth rates in the order of 5.5% in real annual terms. So clearly, the results from the point of view of non-oil tax revenues have been extremely favorable. From the point of view of windfall revenues, that is a comparison of observed revenues with the numbers that we had originally envisaged in the program, we're observing windfall revenues of 145 billion pesos. Oil revenues, given the gas effect that I had mentioned, are very similar to program. They're slightly above, but not by a large amount. In contrast, non-oil tax revenues are higher than program by close to 16 billion pesos. And then the mix of other non-oil, non-tax revenues and revenues from government enterprises different from Pemex are actually higher by close to 100 billion pesos. Part of these windfall revenues that appear with respect to the program are due to the fact that some of the non-recurrent revenues that we were expecting to receive during the fourth quarter of the year were actually received earlier in the year. So in principle, we should be observing some convergence from the point of view of non-oil, non-tax revenues with respect to program and with a lower annual growth rate when we have the final results for the year. But nevertheless, we definitely expect to observe higher revenues than what was originally envisaged in the program for the year as a whole, and therefore we should have no problems from the point of view of revenues in the fiscal accounts. Expenditures have maintained relatively high growth rates, but as we have discussed in the past, normally in transition years you have an acceleration of the spending calendar, so the growth rates should be converging downwards when we actually have the results for the year as a whole. As of the third quarter, expenditures are growing, total expenditures are growing by 6.9%. in real annual terms, and programmable expenditures are growing by 7.8%. Some results that are worth highlighting within expenditures, those on economic and social development increased by 11.8% and 4.3% in real terms. Physical budgetary investment increased by 9.6% and fostered investment increased by 8% in real terms. Resources transferred to state and municipalities increased by 3.2%. Within those resources, shared revenues, participaciones, increased by 0.8% in real terms, but the relatively low growth rate is due to the elimination of the vehicle ownership tax. If one adjusted the base of comparison for that, we would observe an increase in shared revenues of 4.3%. And then the rest of the resources transfers to state and municipalities have been growing by close to 4.9% in real annual terms. Pensions recorded a real annual increase of 7.4%. Something that is perhaps worth noting is that, as many of you know, whenever you have reforms such as the one that we had for the pension system of public sector workers, the ISSSTE pension system, you typically tend to observe some years after the reform when you register relatively high rates of growth for pensions, but then as the transition period progresses, you observe lower growth rates and a gradual convergence towards a growth rate which is more consistent with the growth rate of the pensionable population. And this is what we have been observing. If you observe the growth rate of pensions in 2009, it was close to 3% in real terms of pension expenditures. Then it accelerated to close to 14% in 2010. And then it has been coming down gradually. And that is something that one would expect going forward as well. Finally, the financial cost of the public sector increased by 9.2% in real annual terms. This is basically due to two factors, the depreciation of the exchange rate that we already mentioned in the context of Pemex's revenues, and then some changes in the seasonality of Pemex's debt service. With that, I would finish the initial comments and pass over to Alejandro Díaz de León. Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel. Regarding public debt, the financing that was done in the last quarter was consistent with the main strategy announced in the annual borrowing plan, and I will highlight the main elements that took place in that quarter. First, I will highlight the liability management exercise that we did in August. Through that exercise, we literally offered all of the off-the-run UMS dollar bonds to be able to be exchanged for the on-the-run instrument. That's basically our new 10-year benchmark issued March this year, and also the new long 30-year bond benchmark, and also a centennial bond. We think that this exercise was quite useful in extending the average life of our portfolio, which basically increased by 2 years. The size of the transaction was $2.2 billion, and the record, the levels that we posted for the issuance of the new instruments were historically low levels. We attained a rate of 2.52% for the 10-year tenor, 3.93% for the 30-year tenor, and 4.67% for the centennial bond. So this is regarding external financing, the most important thing that we did in the quarter. Regarding domestic markets, I would highlight that we conducted two syndicated auctions. The first one was the five-year M-Bono, which posted a historically low yield at the time of 4.88%. And we also did another syndicated auction for the UDI Bono, the 10-year UDI Bono, that we received a rate, the yield in real terms was 1.55. And this clearly was the lowest level for this type of transaction. We have been able to expand maturity and duration throughout the quarter, and now the duration of the domestic debt is 4.7 years, and the average maturity is around 7.6 years. Regarding the foreigners' holdings of our domestic debt, I would just highlight that the figure at the end of September was 32.5% of the total domestic debt outstanding in hands of foreigners. And regarding the debt levels, just to highlight that in terms of the stock of the federal government's net debt at the end of the third quarter was 26.5% of GDP. From that stock, 20.4% of GDP is 20% is external and 80% is domestic. And regarding the a broader definition, which is the public sector net debt, which, as you know, it includes the federal government, the public entities under direct budgetary control, and the development bank, that has a figure of 32.2% of GDP. And as the broader definition that we have, which is the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirement, that figure at the end of the third quarter was 35.8% of GDP. And after this, we are open to questions. Thank you.
Operator?
If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And there are no audio questions at this time.
Could you just check one last time, please?
Yes, sir. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1. And no, sir, there are no audio questions at this time.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. It's good to know that we have been so thorough and so clear in our initial remarks. Having said that, please feel free to contact us, as you know, through the Investors Relations Office for any type of additional questions or answers, any additional questions or issues that you may have. And we wish everybody a good day. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.